The fun part is when you have a little bit of success, when all of a sudden all that hard work, all that blood, sweat, and tears turns to glitter from afar and things just start to click.
Hello, I'm Vivian Kay, and I'm super excited to welcome you to Business Class, Build It Braver, a podcast powered by American Express. This is the first episode in a series that aims to tackle some of the most common challenges that small business owners face. As a business owner myself, I know it's not easy. What with the long hours and the uncertainty and the learning on the fly, but don't you worry, on this show, we've got your back. In each and every episode, we meet a different small business owner, someone trying to do it all, just like you. Then we tap into the experiences of notable Canadian entrepreneurs, people who've built and grown successful businesses. That means they can offer firsthand insight into things like managing your cash flow, telling a brand story, sourcing capital, and of course, growing your business. To kick things off today, we're going to meet a small business owner who has a challenge that some of you can relate to: increasing production and getting your product sold at more retailers. To help navigate this challenge, I've got Joe Mimram. You know him from Joe Fresh and Club Monaco. No big deal. If you're wondering why you're hearing a sewing machine in the background, let me explain. I want you to meet Catherine Adai. She's an award-winning fashion designer from Toronto and a wildly creative brain behind the upscale fashion boutique, Kayla K. Kayla K's designs and styles are bright and bold and made from African prints. I adore them. Her business was born out of a desire to create comfortable and stylish space for engaging. Somewhere where people could feel, touch, and buy chic, ready-to-wear African outfits. Now, I probably don't have to tell you that it's a pretty rare sighting if you're living in this part of the world. Like a lot of us who run our own businesses, Catherine throws everything she's got into ensuring she succeeds. And she's got questions about where to go from here. Okay, let's find out how she's doing. Catherine Adai, time to put that sewing machine away, and welcome to Build It Braver.
Hi, Vivian. Thanks for having me.
So, Catherine, let's begin with your studio. It's said to be the first of its kind in Toronto. Tell us more about it.
Absolutely. So the Kayla K Fashion Boutique and Design Studio, based in Toronto, so Dufferin and Wilson. And I opened the space going on almost 3 years now, before the pandemic. And I wanted a space where I can offer my African fashion to a wider audience. So I started out by doing pop-ups a few years ago. And after the pop-ups, customers would ask, where can we buy your pieces after the pop-ups are over? So I got the idea of, if I had a permanent space that could function as a retail space, and the back would function as an office and a shipping space, mannequins dressed to the nines in the front. And I just wanted that space where women can come, touch, feel, try things on, engage with me, learn more about me, my company, and my business, and engage in what I'm bringing in terms of African fashion, contemporary African fashion. And that space was the perfect space for me to do that.
I think we should talk about your clothing designs. You've been recognized for your creativity. Also, your fabrics are unique to Africa. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about your creative vision?
The bigger picture of the brand for me is to offer the history and tradition of my African roots, originally from Ghana, West Africa. And I wanted to be able to parlay that with my North American upbringing in terms of fashion and aesthetic and style. It was a great way for me to merge the two. And the prints, like you said, are bold, they're punchy, they're vibrant. The prints themselves are traditional and historic, and some of them even have meanings behind them. And I wanted to be able to show that in an edgy, modern, eclectic way for the modern women. And I always tell women, and when you wear the pieces, be ready to shine, to stand out, to start a conversation, because these pieces definitely will do that.
Okay, so walk me through this. Okay, so from start to finish, how do you currently get your dresses to market?
So I do all of the designing and all the fabric sourcing. And as I'm sure a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs will say, I'm head honcho of everything. But it starts with the design that I do, all the fabric sourcing. So everything's made locally here in the GTA. And I'm supported by three wonderful seamstresses. So I work with my seamstresses in terms of the patterns, the drafting, the initial samples. Then we do a model fitting, do a photo shoot. And then from then I load things onto the website and I sell. And I sell currently on my website and in my store and a few additional retailers that I have. My current model is mostly made to order. If someone comes to the store, we do have some sample pieces there that they can choose from and buy from. And my idea for doing made to order mainly was to conserve inventory and not to have inventory sitting.
Right.
Going along the last few years and growing, I'm trying to figure out how to pivot and kind of expand that.
So girl, tell me, how's business? What's your biggest pain point right now? I know before you mentioned scaling and getting into retail. So tell me more about that.
So business, I will say, is amazing. It's been quite the learning curve for someone who doesn't have a natural fashion designer business background. And I've learned everything as I've been going along the way. I'm grateful that even throughout the pandemic, from a retail standpoint, online did extremely well. And so coming out of the pandemic now, looking at scaling and growing, my pain points right now. One, most of my clothes are made to order. So how do I have more inventory without losing money and having inventory sitting? And once I have the inventory, where are the best avenues for me to connect with retailers to sell the inventory and to sell the goods? Right now, I can only sell as many pieces as my seamstresses can sew. In terms of production, how do I grow the production to grow the inventory, find the retailers and the outlets to be able to then continue to further expand the brand? But overarching on all of that, where do I get the capital?
Okay, Catherine, I want you to hold that thought for a minute. Before we go any further, I want to bring in Joe Mimram into the conversation. Of course, Joe is the founder of Club Monaco and Joe Fresh. He's also the president of Joe Mimram & Associates and chairman of Gibraltar Ventures. He's hugely admired in the Canadian fashion and design industry and has a reputation as someone with impeccable attention to detail. Oh yeah, and he's a former dragon. Joe Mimram, welcome to Build It Braver.
Hello, Vivian. Great to be with you.
First of all, I have to ask, with the many businesses and investments that you're involved in, how do you keep things fresh and stay inspired?
I get that question a lot. And one of the things that I've always loved to do is build businesses. When you are climbing up that mountain, so to speak, and you've got this huge task ahead of you, it keeps you very energized. And when you have a team around you that needs that constant encouragement and guidance, it also keeps you motivated. So there's lots of ways to sort of spark that creativity on a daily basis. And in our industry, that's super important. You've really got to stay switched on or it's just not as exciting.
Listening to Catherine describe her business, how does it compare to your own experience, you know, 43 years ago when you co-founded your first business?
I think the difficulty in starting a small business always is trying to get to that next level. Most entrepreneurs will always fall through the cracks between being a small entity where you have the responsibility for everything from doing the books to shipping to all of the issues that face small business owners. And to get over that next step is very difficult. One of the most important things is having a balance of skill sets. So some people have great financial skill sets, which are very, very helpful in terms of raising capital, being able to sell themselves from a financial perspective. There are others who have very good, strong creative skills. And in our industry, you cannot do without having both of those skills. The first thing you have to decide as a business owner is, what is your vision? Where do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? And you have to be very realistic. Do I have the right product? Have I done enough research? How big is the market opportunity? And can I really deliver to the consumer on value and on perception? Businesses have to also do good today. They cannot just be self-serving. I do believe there is a change afoot, which is, how else am I contributing? And how am I contributing to the welfare, not only of my shareholders, but of all the people that work inside my company, whether it's 3 people, 10 people, how do I contribute to society? Building businesses are very complex. they're very challenging. That's the other thing I always ask entrepreneurs when they come and see me. Do you have the mental fortitude to go through this, right? Are you risk averse or are you risk tolerant, right? How do you deal with adversity? These are all big issues for entrepreneurs. So another big element, I think, is knowing when do you shuck a loser? I hate to say it in that way, but many young entrepreneurs call it pivoting. You know, they'll say, we've pivoted. That is code for we have failed with the first idea. Mm-hmm. We are now trying our second idea. And I think that's admirable. I love entrepreneurs, but sometimes you have to give them a bit of tough love, which is, let me tell you, you may be good here or you may have the right attitude, but your product is not good enough.
So, Catherine, you talked about scaling up and Joe has built brands that are recognized globally. Do you dream of having that kind of recognition with your clothing? And what does scaling up mean for you?
Absolutely. Joe, thank you for everything that you just said. Things we think, but maybe don't quite say. So I have one physical retail boutique. I also sell heavily online. So building on being an omni-channel presence business. And I also have two retailers that I sell with and one a major online retailer. My big picture dream is to have Kayla K easily and quickly accessible to customers where they live or where they can get it. So whether it's online with me, physically in Toronto with me, in Ottawa, in LA, in New York, in DC, and these are cities that I know I do well in from pop-ups and online shopping, and being able to offer them the experience of seeing, touching, feeling my clothing and being a part of that Kayla K brand, that Kayla K story.
So Joe, what we're really looking at is how to go from a tailored boutique to a large-scale production. You have years of experience with this. What kind of operational needs did you have to consider?
Everything has to build in tandem. So it's not one or the other. I get very worried when I hear that Catherine only has two sewers. I don't believe you're at a critical enough size to try and take on too much expansion without the proper capital to ensure that you're going to get to the next level. Because one big mistake, you could sign a lease in a Washington or someplace in the States. You cannot perform. You'll be tied down to a lease. And all of a sudden, you're going to have to travel there. That's going to take your energy away from what you're doing in Toronto. And it could really be a disastrous move. My view to expansion is expand the core first. Make sure you have a very solid base business. If you're that good, you don't need a physical presence yet in other markets. I would continue to refine that e-com experience to provide a service or something that's unique. You say that you have these very, very unique prints. Perhaps that is something that is a competitive edge because they are yours. They are unique to you. There's a story behind each of these prints. I think you should get yourself out in front of social media much more, and you should try and find an operating partner so that your personality can get out there and really sell. You have to be selling. If you are sitting, designing, manufacturing, and trying to ship and trying to do all that stuff, you can't be selling. Or find yourself a selling partner. Someone who will be out there and be the face and go out and do all the things that you need done. But to try and do all those things yourself and grow dramatically, I don't see it. I think you have to really focus on where are your best strengths and then try and supplement those strengths, but also start to build your volume up domestically and locally.
You're listening to Business Class, Build a Braver, and I'm Vivian Kay. I'm speaking with Joe Mimram, the founder of Club Monaco and Joe Fresh, and Canadian designer Catherine Adai, founder of Kayla K Fashion Boutique. Coming up, I can't wait to hear what else Joe has to say about how and when to scale up. You don't want to miss that. But first, here's a quick tip. If you're a small business owner, when this episode is over, go and check out American Express Business Class. It's a fantastic online resource that provides modern education through compelling stories, timely tips, and inspiring insights from business experts, industry leaders, and savvy entrepreneurs. It's basically a whole world of great ideas for today's business leaders. You can learn more at amex.ca/businessclass.
Imagine you're on the road for a business trip. Now imagine you're on that trip, but this time you've earned 2 times the points on your hotel and car rental. 'Cause I'm free, baby, I'm free, baby, I'm free, baby. Now that's a happy place. Introducing the American Express Aeroplan Business Reserve Card, the card that can help make your happy places even happier. Apply today at amex.ca/aeroplan. On eligible purchases, conditions apply.
I'm back with Catherine Adai of Kayla K Fashion Boutique and international designer and creator of Joe Fresh and Club Monaco, Joe Mimram. We've been talking about scaling production, but now I want to talk a bit more detail about expanding into retail outlets. Joe, many people, myself included, imagine growing their business, but it can be tricky to know when to jump and how high. So how do you assess when to scale up?
You scale up when you believe you've got the demand or when you have the capital to be able to scale correctly. Correctly is having your brand well positioned and a real sense of what the brand represents, having the skill set to run a retail operation correctly, knowing how to train staff and how to motivate staff and how to present your product, ensuring that you have a store design that makes sense to the brand and that makes sense to your price points and to the customer audience. And again, you have to put all those pieces together, including a marketing plan, in order to be able to be successful at retail. Retail today is even more difficult than it ever was, and it is an omni-channel play. So whatever your imagery is online, it has to be consistent with what you're doing in store, and the messages should never really deviate. But if you're talking about a small business person trying to get into retail for the first time, these are the things you got to think about. Capital, you need a lot of capital to do it correctly and to be able to then expand. Having one store and being a one-store operator can work in certain specialty areas, but generally very difficult. You're signing a long-term lease, which is another big part of it. And location, 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 that still holds true. It's very important to understand where that store is going to be and how you're going to attract traffic to it, who your competition is. All of these things are so significant in being able to be successful.
Let's talk about retailers. Building relationships with retailers is critical to expansion, but how can someone like Catherine go about establishing those relationships in the first place? How does she know who are the right retailers to engage with, and how do you cultivate those relationships over time?
Usually, if you've got a great product line and it is capturing the imagination of the consumer, the retailer will reach out to you, generally, if you've got something that's really fantastic and hot. If not, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to try and attract the retailer to your product range and product line. And that the old way of doing it was pick up a phone and you say, I've got something fantastic that I'd like you to see. The other way is you go to trade shows that are geared to small business owners and small fashion manufacturers and designers. And they go to these international shows or local shows where you can rent a booth and you show your product. The other way is you engage an agency. There used to be a lot more agencies in the past than there are today, because as the retail market has shrunk, so has traditional wholesale relationships shrunk. But there's still some agents that are out there who are very, very strong and who carry multiple lines and who have good relationships with retailers. Now, having said that, you're going to have to make them a set of samples. They're going to want X amount per month, up to anywhere from 2,000 to 5, 10,000 a month just to carry the line. And really, it's building the sample line, which is very, very expensive. These are the ways that you would get to retailers. The other way is to market yourself through social media get yourself known, become a name. There's no silver bullet for a business today.
If I could just quickly say everything that Joe just said, I feel like Joe's talking to me. To echo what Joe said, so the retailers that I even have relationships right now, they have found me and they all found me through social media, either through social media or through another associate that I had done a project or a collaboration with. So I haven't hired anybody to go out and do that legwork for me, but I always wondered if I should. So it's good to hear Joe say, I mean, you know, if you have a great enough product where it's authentic and unique enough, and if you're strong enough on social, they'll find you. So I think what Joe's saying is keep pushing on that side. Let them find me. Focus on building a great product, great story, great customer base, and kick up my production for the inventory so that when the retailers come, I'll be ready.
Exactly.
So, Joe, you keep saying, go out and get the capital. Go out and find the capital. Joe, how and where?
You gotta find capital.
Where, Joe? Where?
Well, there's lots of different places to find capital. Today, finding capital is still much easier than it was 25, 30, 40 years ago, particularly in the fashion industry. Today, first of all, there's a lot of angel investors who are very interested in being part of a story, who are looking for the excitement of entrepreneurship, family members, credit cards, homes. I had to do that when I was growing my business. I had to take that risk. And sometimes, again, it's about risk tolerance. You know, to climb up, it's hard. Once you're there and you've got capital, it's much easier. But to climb up and to be part of the group that has capital, sometimes you've got to take that risk. I was very lucky. I had a financial background as well. So I was able to talk to banks in a certain way, and I was able to go to factoring companies. There are factors who will factor your receivables and advance against your receivables. Talk to them. Kickstarter, Indiegogo, there are ways to get capital that way. There's angel investors that are out there that you've got to network, 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 network. I tell people all the time, go to events, talk to people. You just never know who you're going to talk to, who they can introduce you to, what their interest might be. You should never be too good to say hello to people. Engage.
So Joe, we're talking about retail, but this question impacts many business owners. Let's say, hypothetically, Catherine has the funds to amp up her core business. Where would she go from here?
Well, then you decide on what your organizational structure should look like. There's all of these elements that have to come into play at the appropriate time, right? You're not going to build an infrastructure if you don't have the money to pay your people, or you'll be like I was in the shower in the mornings thinking, I'm not going to meet payroll next week. But you've got to think about bringing people in that specialize in certain areas, whether it's logistics, whether it's in finance, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in accounting. Get people. And if you can't afford them, maybe you make certain people partners. Maybe you open up the business. It's better to own 20%, 30%, 50%. Of something that's winning than 100% of something that's not. People don't understand how to structure that kind of organizational part of it so that they can win. I've always brought in people that I could partner with. And you share the burden, you share responsibilities, you share skill sets. We could write a whole chapter on partnerships.
That's a whole other episode.
But sometimes in order to grow, you do need to make those types of decisions. Bring a partner in. Find a financial partner. Find a marketing partner to help you then continue to advance your business. But also build a business plan, a financial business plan, so that you have stated goals that you are measured yourself against, and that you can see whether or not you're making progress. I'm making it all sound like so horrible, but you know, there are some fun parts of this too.
What are some fun parts, Joe?
The fun part is when you have a little bit of success, when all of a sudden all that hard work, all that blood, sweat, and tears turns to glitter from afar, and things just start to click.
I think it's safe to say being an entrepreneur is not a walk in the park. So I want to ask you both, what are some big lessons you've learned the hard way I'm thinking of things that could be useful for any small business owner, regardless of what industry they're in. I'll start with you, Catherine.
I made a lot of financial mistakes in the beginning because I thought I have a certificate in finance from university and I thought I was so good. And I thought I could just implement, you know, I can do an Excel spreadsheet and revenue and expenses. But, you know, to look at that on a day-to-day basis and really see if your company is growing really takes somebody who has a strong financial background so we can connect with somebody, especially on the money point and places where you're not an expert and where you can really use the help and support and ask questions. Don't be afraid or ashamed to ask questions. If you don't know, you don't know, and you won't know unless you ask.
Some of the key ones are you should be very slow to hire and quick to fire. I think that's an adage that has been used many, many times. I think that that's truism, and take the time to find the right people for your organization. The other thing is be kind to yourself, but be able to take rejection and really assess your own risk tolerance and work according to that risk tolerance. Pride, I would say, is one of the most important. There's a lot of people whose business is tied to them and their own self-worth. And so don't always make the business about yourself and whether or not you're successful or not as an indication of who you are as a person. That is not how you should judge yourself. Businesses, you're meant to try things and to fail and try and enjoy yourself along the way.
This has been an amazing conversation. To think about the journey that Joe Mimran has been on and expanding a global business, Joe, it's admirable. Do you have any last words to Catherine?
Yeah, I would say keep that spirit up. I can tell that you've got a great spirit. You've got a great attitude, beautiful smile. Let it shine and just keep swinging every single day.
Thank you so much, Joe. Literally everything you said, I've either experienced it or I've been thinking about it in terms of how to better expand and grow the business, things that I've been maybe nervous to take a leap on. So it's really great to hear from Joe that things I'm going through, you also went through.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Catherine, thanks for coming on Build It Braver and raising some really great questions that I think a lot of us business owners can learn from. Kayla K Fashion Boutique is gorgeous, and I cannot wait to see your designs on shelves everywhere. Joe, before we let you go, where does a guy like yourself go from here? What is next for Joe Mimran?
Yes, well, I'm excited about a few projects that we've got on the go. The first one is Rise Little Earthling, which is an amazing baby toddler line, all organic based, beautiful product. And it's available at Toys R Us exclusively across Canada. And of course, Grey Matter by Joe Mimran, which you can find at Staples here in Canada and in the US. And it's a line of optical wear, reading glasses and blue light glasses and furniture and notebooks and pens and all of the things that make you more efficient. And of course, we've just gotten involved with a company called Tilly's.
Tilly's and Durables.
That's correct.
Oh.
And if you check it out on Instagram, you'll see the changes that we are putting through. We're very excited about that.
Joe Mimran, it's been incredibly valuable to have your insight. I could talk to you forever, but definitely I have so many takeaways from this episode. Thank you so much for sharing your tips on how to increase production and scale up a business.
Vivian, thank you so much. It's been so great to spend time with you as well and to hear Catherine's story and to hear how she is going to scale up her business and grow. Well, I'll be watching for sure. Thanks again.
And thank you for listening. If you like what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe. And hey, maybe while you're at it, leave us a quick review and tell your friends about us. We business owners need to stick together. We've got some incredible business mentors coming your way. So keep checking out the show. I'm Vivian Kaye. Thanks again for listening to Build It Braver. And may you continue to prosper.